Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night once again, and time for Chasing Night Shadows, or not Chasing Night Shadows, that was our former show, Cryptid Studies Institute Radio. Been a hectic day, we're just getting started. So tonight, before we get started, we want to thank our guest, Belgian Force, for being on with us last week. And man, what a show. Awesome guy. Been a lot of news over the past week in the cryptid field. So we're going to have a friend of ours who called in the show last week, Jason Acey. He's going to call us in a few minutes and try to update us on some cryptid news. And then he was going to tell us a little bit about his research and some brief. So hopefully he'll be calling in a few minutes. I hope that he talks a little bit about, because I've been so busy this week, I haven't had a lot of time, but apparently there was something going on with some llamas up in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, a few of them got slaughtered recently, and from what it appears, it was some type of canine creature that did it.
We're having some kind of technical glitch because I can't seem to get my co-host called in. He'll be on in just a minute. Always problems with technology.
Can you hear me now?
I can, in fact.
All right. Well, I think we're set now, and we can really get into it.
Elijah, how was your week? Anything good to report?
Well, it's all week, but in some interesting news, we've had one of our videos shared by I reckon a fairly prominent Bigfoot website called Squatchable.com, so that's always very interesting.
I'd say it is. Now, I don't know much about Squatchable, but Elijah's pretty excited about it. So, Squatchable, if you're listening, thank you so very much. And thank you to everybody who has liked our Instagram, our Facebook, and support our videos. We're really trying to get good content out there for you.
Yes, and we genuinely appreciate everything, all the comments, all the likes and everything. So, but yeah, we'll have a lot more interesting content as time goes on, so just bear with us and our technical difficulties of these early shows.
Yes, it's been a rough week here in the old Tennessee area. We've had like almost record flooding this week. The town we live in has been under a flash flood watch or warning, actually, because rivers and streams and tributaries, they're just flowing over the banks. And
yeah,
like
a lot of our prominent parks.
We've done a little research. Go ahead, Elijah.
A lot of Clarksville's prominent parks, they're actually closing the roads to it, and they're just covered in so much water you can barely see the land.
I always kind of wonder, what happened to cryptids at the time when we have this kind of weather? Do any of them ever perish? Do they take better refuge than what we possibly ever could? What do you think?
I'd be interested to know that. I think that perhaps, you know, they know the landscape a lot better than we do, so they could go into a lot of the caves that we don't know about and potentially stay somewhat dry in there.
I would say so. We wanted to make sure that we told everybody we just got a new video up and loaded. Well, tell us a little bit about that, Elijah.
Yes, we just got uploaded a video, Nightmare Nuggets, The Creatures of Carr Creek, and that is an area near Nashville, Carr Creek. And over the years, they've had a lot of violent Bigfoot accounts over there, encounters, and just animal mutilations that are very violent in nature. And not just that, but they've also seen something that almost matches the description of a creature called the Shunkawarakan, which the Indians, in the native language, it means carries off dogs. So that's a very interesting subject, and we hope to make a Nightmare Nugget video about those creatures in the very near future.
Well, we're going to have to, because we have a man who lives near Dover who told us that on his property he's seen a... At first he said it was, he thought, a hyena, until he got to looking through a cryptid book that I happen to have, and he saw a picture of the Shunkawarakan, and he said, "That's it. That's exactly the thing I saw up there harassing my dogs. It was out by my pond." So I would like to really get a chance to go out there and look for that thing.
Absolutely. And it would make sense, too, because I believe the Shunkawarakan is also called America's hyena, so that would be a similar description.
It sure would. Now, the Shunkawarakan, or whatever it is, down there in Robertson County, I believe, near Cart Creek, they've seen this thing off and on since 1956 or earlier. I found a newspaper article where it was talking about a mysterious creature saw on Bell Witch Land. And if you don't know who the Bell Witch is or what the Bell Witch is, man, that's a fascinating story. I would encourage you to look that up. We've got a mini documentary or Nightmare Nugget or something in the works for that. That's going to be something very exciting.
We got something very cool for you on the way on that. But without further ado, let's welcome Jason Acey onto the show. He's in the switchboard waiting. So let's welcome him on. Jason,
hey,
brother, can you hear?
What's going on? I got
How's
you,
it going,
you
man?
Me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
No,
How
right.
is it going? You doing all right tonight?
It's good. I've got some cell tower issues on my end down here, so I think I'm in a good spot. If I happen to lose you, I'll drive down the road and see if I can pick up something else, but I think it'll be okay.
All right.
Well, all right, brother. How was your week?
It was good. I went down to Mississippi this weekend and visited some family and had a good time and saw a lot of water all over the place, as you can imagine.
Now,
absolutely.
I had talked to you some time ago, and you mentioned you were going somewhere in Mississippi where there was either a Bigfoot sighting or a Dogman sighting. Was that right?
Yeah, that's in Taylor, Mississippi. It's only about 5 miles from my sister's house where I was, but due to the weather and everything we had going on, I wasn't able to get down there this time. But I'm going back in March, and hopefully I can get down to Taylor and do a little investigating. What I think it was 2008 or 2009. There was actually they called it a werewolf sighting that happened there. It mutilated some cattle, and a woman actually claimed she took a picture of it, and that video was on YouTube. You can look that up, but it's a very interesting case.
I would love to do that. I've really become fascinated with this dogman phenomenon. You know, some people say it's a werewolf, some people say it's a skinwalker, some people say it's just a highly evolved or adapted, I hate that word evolution, a highly adapted wolf that's learned to maybe dislocate the joints in its legs and stand up. So whatever it is, I'm pretty fascinated by it.
Yeah, it is interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead, brother.
I was just going to say it's interesting. You know, I saw something similar to what I think it could have been one of those, and we could talk about that later on or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I was thinking that we had talked a bit, and you might give us a little update on some things that's going on in the news. Have you had any time to look into that this week?
Yeah, I got a couple of things to share. The first case, you probably heard it happened a few weeks ago in North Carolina, but I know we haven't had a chance to talk about it. The 3-year-old Tracy Hathaway, who went missing 2 days in freezing conditions. You know, responders finally found him. They had to wade through waist-high water to get to him. I think he was in the middle of a briar patch or something. But, you know, he's 3 years old, so he can't tell him a whole lot. But what he did say was that a friendly bear took care of him for those 2 days. And, you know,
so
if,
he was
if 48 you
hours
out,
alone in freezing temperatures.
Yes, freezing, and I think it said raining, too. So, you know, if it was me or you or somebody like that that was really not dressed to be out in it and it got down into the 20s, I think the article said, we would probably get hypothermia and need to be hospitalized, possibly die.
That is wicked amazing.
Absolutely, that is incredible.
Yeah, I really don't think it was a friendly bear that took care of him.
Whatever it is, it's nothing short of a miracle.
That's right. They said, they said in the bears are still in hibernation, supposedly, in that area of the country. And if one was to wake up, all they would be thinking about was eating something. So if it was a bear, you know, the story probably wouldn't have ended that way.
He would have probably ended up as a McYoungin.
That's right.
Well, you know, if it was like a... If it wasn't a Bigfoot in nature, they tend to have sheepish-like qualities. And, you know, apes have been known to take care of things smaller than them before, like Coco the gorilla, which took care of and almost mothered kittens before. So it would stand to reason that some of the, perhaps a similar nature, could take care of something like that.
Yeah, that's what I think. And, you know, there's been a lot of cases where it's reported that Sasquatch did take care of little children and help them get home or, you know, help them out of a bad situation. So if that is the case, I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah.
Had y'all heard about this case before now?
Go ahead.
I said, had y'all heard about this case before now?
I've heard a little bit about it. I haven't paid much attention to it, honestly, because I've just been so swamped with everything. I've seen it pop up in my timeline on different social media outlets where people are saying that they thought it might be a Bigfoot, you know, but I never went and really researched into it.
I think we briefly heard it on Missing 411.
No, we did not.
Not on that one?
No, somewhere different. But I wonder if some of these people who are coming up missing, Jason, are you familiar with Missing 411?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't he think sometimes that Bigfoot, or other cryptids might be responsible for some of these missing people?
Well, you know, David Pilates is a Bigfoot researcher, but I believe, you know, in his books and all the speeches that he gives, he never really takes a side. He never really comes out and says what he thinks is responsible, because he doesn't really want it to water down the evidence. So I think he pretty much sticks with, here's the evidence, this is what happened, and so you make up your own mind.
Yeah, what happened. Okay, I wasn't sure. I've just recently started watching him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got a piece of news that I did see just a snippet of. Apparently, I want to say it was in North Carolina. It could be somewhere else. But a teacher was mauled to death by some kind of animal, and they have no idea what it was. They think that it might have been canine.
Yeah, that was my number two on the list. It was a 77-year-old Brenda Hamilton in the town of Pantego. I think that's how you pronounce it, in Beaufort County, North Carolina, was attacked and died. And supposedly they did DNA test on, you know, her wounds or whatever, and found that it was no indigenous animal to the area.
Wow. So they don't know yet what it is.
Correct. They said that they had, you know, bears and alligators and animals like that, and it matched no indigenous animal. That's really all I have on that, but I found that, you know, coincidental that happened in North Carolina too, and the Casey Hathaway case happened in North Carolina just, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Interesting.
It seems like North Carolina is starting to get a lot more activity as of recently.
Now,
yes.
Have you heard this? I don't want to steal your thunder, step on your toes here, but have you heard about the slaughtered llamas up in Louisville or near Louisville?
No, I heard you mention that in the intro. I have not heard that.
Okay, apparently, my daughter brought this one to my attention. Apparently, six llamas, which are supposedly almost like guard animals, very aggressive, who can defend themselves vigorously against coyotes and things of that nature, six of them were killed, torn all to pieces, throats torn out. One of them was even a 500-pound llama. And that one I did read, just a snippet that she was showing me, that DNA showed it was some sort of a canine. Now, it would take a big, big canine to bring down a 500-pound llama.
Yeah, I don't really see any kind of domestic dog or maybe even a wolf doing that. I don't know.
That would be pretty tough. You might if you had a pack of wolves or something, or a massive pack of coyotes. But then to still take down six of them, actually it's eight now because two more died. The top rung on the a wooden fence was broken, and there's blood all over the gate up high. There are pictures online for this.
You say that happened in Louisville?
Yeah, Louisville or near Louisville. Definitely want to look that up.
Okay, sure will.
But it seems like there's an awful lot of animal mutilations going on now lately. Because remember just last year, there was the small horses and the two or three dogs that got killed by something.
Well,
I think there's a few more, too.
Just a couple of months ago, down here close to where I live, in Hohenwald, Tennessee, I remember reading a case where a woman found what she called a killing ground, where there were just all kinds of sorts of carcasses and dead animals.
Wow, that's pretty disturbing. I was listening, I believe it was Dogman Encounters. I think it's Vic Cundiff, which is a great show. If you've not listened to that, you should go listen to it. Where there was a lady who's from this area, I believe, who is talking about Werewolf Springs, which is down near your neck of the woods, White Bluff, and just talk about a couple who actually was driving down Highway 13. You know where Highway 13 is, I'm sure.
Yes.
Passing a field on Highway 13 and looked over and saw what she thinks, the wife thinks, was a dog man or werewolf. And the husband, because he had never heard of such a thing, is convinced that it's a Bigfoot.
When did that take place?
So that's a few years old, but I just recently listened to the show.
Okay.
So there's apparently like a lot of things down off in that area, not too far from you. And I want to say that somebody mentioned that something had killed and slaughtered a horse or something down there around the same time.
Hmm.
And if you're interested in listening to that Dogman Encounters episode, that is either 27 or 28.
Okay. Yeah, I've listened to a lot of those. I heard recently that they had taken his show down for some reason off of YouTube. I don't really know what's going on.
Wow, I'll have to check on that because I listen to that quite often.
Yeah.
Or at least for the last couple of 3 months.
Right. I've got one more piece of news. July this year, July 27th, we have the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference coming to the Gatlinburg Convention Center.
The one coming this year?
This year, July 27th. I guess this will be the inaugural year for it. It says we'll be in Gatlinburg Convention Center from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There will be a, I think general admission tickets are $25. There will be a VIP dinner experience with Cliff Barrickman. And other speakers include John Brebner of Bigfoot 911, Matt Siever of East Tennessee Bigfoot, Scott Carpenter, Matt Pruitt, and I think a couple of other people.
Man, I definitely
need to look into that.
Set up there.
Yeah.
Of course, I want to set up the one or get a chance to set up and go to the one. It was in Frankfort this year, but I think they're moving it to Lexington.
Yeah, I've never been to that. So what time of year is that one?
Oh, man, I want to say it was close to October.
Yeah, I think
okay.
It was in the latter part of the year.
September, October, something like that. But I'd really like to look at Elijah. Let's look into going to that thing. Maybe get some merch and set up. And
Definitely. We will look into that because we always like going to things like that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. It would be in a cool location also.
And if anybody's
Absolutely.
Listening and you want to call in and talk to Jason tonight, then we'd love to have you do that.
And the number for anybody that wants to call in, that is 516-418-5453.
All right,
and,
give it
when you call
in, just in case.
Okay, that number is 516-418-5453. And when you call, I'll patch you through, and you can ask any questions you want.
Hey, I've got one more little tidbit here.
Sit on it. Share it with us.
Okay, have you seen the movie The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot?
Damn, Elliot.
We seen that the other day.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday, and just wondering about your opinions on it. I have my opinions on it, but...
My opinion is that there wasn't enough Bigfoot.
You know, I use Bigfoot as something to draw people in, and then there's like, what, 5 minutes of Bigfoot?
It come off more like a drama to me rather than something adventurous.
Yeah, I think they took two interesting subjects and tried to squash them together, and the first part of the show would have been a good movie all on its own, you know, and then I didn't really see how it made any sense connecting the two.
No, not really.
It
seemed like an excuse to make an artsy film. Now, it was a good movie, you know, but it just left me wanting.
Yes, I agree. Well, that's all
now,
I have on the movie.
Primal Rage.
No, I have not.
Yeah, I might want to check out Primal Rage. It's a pretty interesting movie. I've seen several good Bigfoot movies lately. But, you know, I don't think I've seen a single Dogman movie.
No, they generally don't seem to make Dogman movies. If they do, it's in the vein of a werewolf.
Right.
Now, Jason, have you been doing any hunting lately? I know you and I have, and Elijah have gone out a time or two, and we've got some interesting activity. And you got a very fascinating piece of audio, and we've put that in a video. You said that you didn't mind if we displayed that. But can you tell us a little bit about how you got that? Very well could be the White Bluff Screamer.
Well, that was in February of 2011. I was living in Centerville, Tennessee, and had walked outside to crank my truck up to warm it up. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And when I walked outside, I just heard something screaming off in the distance, so it didn't sound like it was too far away. But that house was kind of down in a little bowl, the way it was situated, so I really couldn't tell which direction it was coming from. So I pulled my iPhone out of my pocket and hit the voice record and just held it up in the air, not knowing what I was recording. It being a Bigfoot or any kind of creature like that had not really entered my mind. I didn't recognize what it was, so I decided to record it. And I wish I had recorded it longer. And actually, I recorded it for, 30 seconds or whatever it was, turned it off, went back inside, fixed my coffee, came back outside, got in the truck, and as I was leaving the neighborhood there, I rolled the windows down and listened, and it was still going,
Wow.
10 minutes later. And I kind of missed out on getting a better recording of that than what I have. But
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think I got online looking for, I don't even remember how I searched it, but somehow I fell upon a post that you had put on a site and got your email and contacted you, and that's how we met in the first place.
Yes, I had a comment on something about a noise down at Werewolf Springs on somebody's website.
Yes. So that's about 30 minutes away from where I live now, maybe a little bit less.
That thing sounds remarkably like a friend of mine from Chasing Night Shadows actually recorded over in East Tennessee, over near one of the state parks over there. It wasn't very far from it, but he got something sound almost just like that on two or three different occasions, always at the same place.
Wow.
And for those who are listening, we actually do... Oh, go ahead, Jason.
I'll just say I never heard it there again, so that's all. Go ahead.
And for those who are listening, we actually have that audio clip that Jason recorded. Would you be all right if we played that, Jason?
Sure, go ahead.
Is a very, very impressive audio clip.
Well, hearing it again fresh, it sounds a little bit different than what our friend recorded, but still has a very, very similar sound. But yeah, that's an impressive recording, Jason. You said that thing was still hollering when you left?
Yeah, I could hear it, echoing through the neighborhood. Like I said, I really couldn't tell which direction it was coming from. It was just kind of echoing all around me. So, I don't know what that was.
Now, do you think that's the same thing that they call in the area the White Bluff Screamer, or do you think that's something different?
I don't know. Of all the things I've read about the White Bluff Screamer, I don't know that anybody ever recorded it.
You may be the first.
There's a lot of controversy over whether or not some people say that it's more Sasquatch-like in nature, and some people say it's more supernatural in nature. There's a little bit of a controversy in between there.
I'm going to believe it's more Sasquatchy.
Yeah.
Everything
is pointing that way.
Just hearing that again, it reminded me of something that happened a few weeks ago. There was a fox screaming outside our house here, just down in the gully, and I walked up there and at the edge of the yard and recorded it for like 7 minutes, just screaming. And a couple of nights later, my daughter ran in the house and said, Dad, there's something screaming. There's some kind of creature screaming out in the woods. And I pulled up my phone and said, does it sound like this? She said, yeah. I said, well, that's a fox. So, you got to know what's what out in the woods. I've heard just about everything there is to hear, and sometimes, you just still have to remind yourself what's what, and you're not sure what it is.
Right. You can't make everything a monster.
That's right.
Now, you and I we went out to one of my research areas, and you went out there with me a couple of times, and we got some pretty impressive sounds up there, that roaring. You remember that?
I do. That weekend was pretty much a game changer for me. After that weekend, I was pretty much a true believer between what happened there and the next night. I went to LBL and went solo camping, and what happened to me that night, it shook me up.
Yeah, I mean, the roaring we got was pretty awesome. Now, did you, the Sasquatch or whatever is out there on the property where we research out in Indian Mound, did you ever hear it when it would mimic donkeys?
I remember us hearing a donkey while we were there, but I think that was actually the neighbor's donkey that I heard. I don't think I ever heard. I don't think I was there when he was mimicking the donkey.
Yeah, the neighbor had a donkey that lived up on the front part of the property. And it was the only donkey in the whole neighborhood. And it was in a pen up front, and it was always there. But you would be up there camping out in the woods, and you'd hear this thing come up behind you off in the woods, and it would start imitating that donkey. Sound very close, but you could tell it just wasn't right. One night it was making this donkey noise, and it got strangled and choked while it was doing it.
And we actually have a recording of that somewhere, but we haven't been able to relocate it. We're still trying to find that.
I have a recording from that night when we were sitting around the garden there, and whatever, I guess it was a Sasquatch, whooped, and it was very, very close to us. I still have that recording.
Yeah, it was very distinct. Since then, the property owner has seen a Sasquatch out there at least twice.
We may need to go back out there.
We definitely need to go back out there.
Probably
I just kind of shied away from it because
again.
We got in so many ticks. Did you remember that the night that we were out there and we were going off in the woods toward that cave, and then it sounded like a Tyrannosaurus coming through the woods?
Yeah, it seems like we saw a deer or two off in the woods, and then we saw some eye shine that we really couldn't attribute to a deer, if my memory serves right. And then we decided to keep on going closer towards the cave, and then it sounded like somebody just pushed a tree over, if I remember right.
Yeah, it just slammed hard on the ground, but it sounded huge, whatever it was that done it.
And it was a blue eye shine too, from what I understand. That's a not very common color eye shine for animals to have.
Right, and we promptly turned around and went the other way after that, if I remember right.
Yeah, you said let's go check it out, and I had my kids. We were pretty small at the time with me, and I said no, I'm not going over there until I get them out of the woods. We left, took them out. Do you remember there was a little cemetery that we walked past as we went off up in the field, up into the woods?
Mm-hmm.
The next day we found in that cemetery that there was a tree limb, a big cedar tree limb, up close to about 8, 9, 10 feet tall. And this thing was as big around as a ball bat, and it was just broken half, the whole limb hanging down.
I do remember that. That was kind of around on the other side of that hill, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And we got a picture of that, too, so I'll upload it to our Facebook and our Instagram, so anybody can check that out if they'd like to.
So, Jason, how did you actually get into Bigfoot research?
Well, I guess I've always been kind of a casual believer. Honestly, I didn't get into research until after I met you, but I had some experiences in my life that now I look back on and say, I wonder if that was that, but let me say this, I've experienced a lot of different types of paranormal events and all kind of just crazy, crazy things in my life. Probably so much that people would probably call me a liar, but it would take too much to go through in this show. But I've experienced some crazy things. But, you know, looking back, one of the first time that I believe I had an encounter with a quote-unquote cryptological creature, you know, we had a 100-acre farm at one time, and it backed up to two other farms. It was probably almost 1,000 acres in total, and, you know, I just had the run of the place. I could go wherever I wanted to do, go and do whatever I wanted to do, and I want to say I was maybe 12 years old, and I was out squirrel hunting by myself. And so I guess it was fall. I guess that's when squirrel hunting, I haven't been squirrel hunting in so long, I can't remember, but I think I had a single shot 20 gauge with me and wasn't very far from the house. And I was down in this little ditch, a sand ditch, what we call it, trying to sneak through the woods, you know, looking up in the trees, trying to be quiet. And I went around a little curve in the ditch, and there, you know, about 30 yards in front of me was, at the time, what I thought was a baby bear. But, you know, we don't really have bears in that part of Mississippi. Nobody ever saw a bear on any of that property. And when I really, well, let me finish. What I did was, it scared me so much, and I was sitting there with a gun in my hand. I started walking backwards very slowly until I couldn't see it anymore, and then I turned, and then I ran out of the woods and then ran all the way home. Thinking back on it all these years, it wasn't a little ball of fur like you would think of a baby black bear. It would have to be a black bear if it was in Mississippi, but it was standing on two legs, and it was really sparsely covered in hair. It didn't have a whole lot of hair on it, and it was kind of lanky, and it turned its head and looked at me. Now, I couldn't tell you what the face looked like because it just scared the crap out of me because I'd never seen anything like that before. So can I say that was a baby Sasquatch or something else? You know, I can't say for certain, but that's something that has stuck out in my mind.
That almost sounds exactly like what you saw.
Did very close to that, actually.
Apis, it was, you said it was kind of lanky. Bear usually aren't lanky. Was it walking on two legs?
It was standing still. It was standing on two legs and then turned its head whenever I came around the corner like I surprised it.
Wow. Now, I've got an interesting story for you. I don't know if you've heard this, if I've told you this or not. I was interviewing a lady here in town locally, and she was telling me about when she was a kid, her and her, I think her brother and her sisters and some other kids, they had a few little trees that they would climb up in. They were all real close to each other. And she said one day they were sitting in this tree, and they saw like these, they swore they, when they was little, that they saw a monkey. They said that a monkey just was like hand walking, hand over hand through the tree limbs over there close to where they were, and was like trying to get them to play with it. And she said, now that I'm grown, I don't believe it was a monkey. I think it might have been a baby Sasquatch.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have, you know, quite a few memories of different things that I'm really not sure are memories or if it's something that something that I dreamed, but I have a few things that are, and we don't have to talk about it now, but a few things that are just like kind of right on the tip of your tongue of your memory, if that makes sense. And you,
right,
you can't really grab onto it and know for certain if it really happened or not.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when you're really young, you know, it's hard to get your mind around it.
Yeah, I've often thought about putting myself under some type of hypnosis just to see, or going to a hypnotist to see if I could get some answers on some of those things.
Yeah, a young mind, you know, might try to deal with that in a different way to kind of help you rationalize it.
Yeah, I just wish I could get rid of the fogginess and, you know one way or the other if it really happened.
That'd be interesting if you did have that done. Now, didn't you have a sighting or some sort possibly over the summer?
Yeah, that was in August. I think it was the third week of August in 2018. I was coming home from church, me and my wife and my daughter in the truck. And I kind of live up on top of this big hill. So when you turn off of the, you know, the road on the bottom to come up the hill, it's a pretty steep little climb there. And so I was halfway up the hill, and some kind of movement caught my eye further on up the hill, and I looked up, and I saw an upright creature, brown, hairy, jump across the road. It was, I just saw the last part, like maybe it jumped and then hit the road with one foot and then, you know, jumped off the road into the woods to the left. It was almost like I saw the second half of that, or either something was standing in the road and just turned and jumped. But it was definitely a jumping motion, and it was like I saw the upper body and part of an arm swing of the jump. But it was, you know, 6 or 7 foot up off the ground. I don't think we have any grizzly bears around here. I don't know what else it could have been. Of course, my wife and my daughter were both looking at their phone, and they didn't see it. That kind of made me mad. I stopped where it went across the road and looked off into the woods and couldn't see anything. And that was, I mean, that was very close to my house, and that kind of lit a fire under me again. I had kind of fallen away from wanting to get out and do any research, but seeing something like that close to my house kind of sparked it again for me.
Now, you're currently building yourself like a little mobile command unit to get out and do some researching in, aren't you?
I'm building what I like to call a little adventure camper. It wasn't specifically for, you know, Bigfoot and the research or whatever, but I like to camp, but my wife really doesn't like to sleep on the ground or in tent. So I started looking into campers like that, and they were very expensive, so I decided to build my own. You know, in the back of my mind while I was building it, I had a little ulterior motive. I was thinking this would be the perfect thing to take out on an expedition and have a, you know, I say, quote-unquote, relatively safe place to sleep. Maybe give you some a false sense of security sleeping in it, but it'll be better than sleeping in a tent. At least it'll be insulated and, you know, a real mattress and all that. But, yeah, I plan to get out in that and do some research whenever it stops raining, hopefully.
Yes. Now, you spend a little time in Land Between the Lakes, I believe.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, I can. I was going to see if I could get you to tell me about, because when we were talking about the first time we went camping, you said, or not camping, but researching together, you said that weekend was a turning point for you, and you sound like you were going to say something about LBL. Can you tell us what happened there?
Oh, yeah. Well, the next day when we left that place, I drove to LBL, which wasn't really that far from where we were. I can't remember exactly how far, but excuse me. And I drove up, and I can't even tell you really where I was. I know the area, but I parked in a like a day use area, and then just put my backpack on and, you know, walked down the road, and I walked through a cemetery, and then way down through the woods to this point on the lake and set up my camp. Pretty early. I would say it was lunchtime when I got there or something like that. So I spent the day, fishing and whatnot and setting up camp or whatever. And then when the afternoon came at night, I started me a little campfire and had a hammock set up. I was going to sleep in the hammock because I believe it was the dead of summer. It was pretty hot. And I was getting ready to eat something, and I started hearing something growling at me. And I had a flashlight, and I was shining around trying to see if I could see anything, and I never saw anything. But it got more intense, and all of a sudden this great fear took me over. And I'm really not afraid of the woods. I've been solo camping many, many times, and nothing really shakes me up in the woods except snakes. I don't like snakes. But I don't know if that was I got hit with infrasound or whatever it was. It put such a big fear in me that I immediately packed up my camp and walked out of there. It was like 10:30 at night. I really didn't want to pack everything up, but I packed it all up and started walking through the woods to get away from it. And then I thought, well, man, I got to walk back through that dang cemetery. I really don't want to have to do that, but I did it. That's the only way I knew how to get out of there. So I walked out of there and drove home.
Wow. Some of the stories I've heard coming out of LBL or Land Between the Lakes, that might have been the wise decision to pack it up and leave.
Yeah, especially by myself. If someone else would have been with me, I might have been willing to stick it out and try to figure out what it was. But you're right, that was probably a wise decision.
You might have been a face on a milk carton if you'd stayed.
There's a lot of places in that park where there's no kind of cell service. You get back in there and you want to look on the map on your phone and see where you are, and there's nothing.
Yeah, when you go there, you almost need to download the map before you go.
That's right.
Or have one of those contour maps. I can't remember what the name of it is right now, but
I can't think of the name either.
I've actually got one here, but I can't even think of what the name of it is. But yeah, have you a good old fashioned hard copy map that you could look at?
Yeah, I've got several, paper maps of it. And the strange thing is what I have found in LBL is that some of the roads on a map will actually have a name, and then when you get there, there's just a number. So some of those roads are kind of hard to match up and figure out exactly where you are.
Unless you go by the number, you're going to be lost, I think.
That's right.
By the way, that'd be a topographic map.
Topographical map, yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, son.
No problem.
You and I definitely need to get together and go back out to Land Between the Lakes. There's a few places I'd like to go and check out.
Definitely, I'm all in for it. I just hope that this rain is over for a while. I'm really sick of it.
And I don't know what to expect for next week. I've already been told it's supposed to be like 19 degrees all week, but I don't believe that's true.
Well, one good thing is a couple weeks ago it got warm and we had a bunch of mosquitoes come out. So if it gets below 32 again, it's going to kill all those mosquitoes.
I hope it kills every stinking one. I wish it'd kill all the ticks as well.
That's
yes.
Right. It may...
We need to... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's what we can hope for, is that it kills all of them.
Yes. Also need to try to find time to go back down to our research area now.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to spend more time researching this year than I got to last year. Jason, have you heard anything about this chronic wasting disease that the deer are getting?
No, I have not.
It's almost like the mad cow for deer. These things are getting like big lumps and warts and growths all over them. They're just wasting away. They're eating their own feces, drinking their own urine. I mean, they're really just being classified almost as zombie deer is what some people are calling them. And in fact, I think someone for the first time ever saw a deer, and I'm not saying it's a zombie deer, but saw a deer actually munching on a dead human body. But that's neither here nor there. But I wonder how this wasting disease will infect other animals, maybe Bigfoot, maybe dog man, maybe just your regular run-of-the-mill animals who are possibly killing these things and eating them.
I don't know. Is that happening here
if they
in Tennessee
can't
also?
Eat the deer, if they can't eat the deer, their normal food sources, maybe that's why they're turning to livestock.
That would make sense. You know, that would make some interesting an investigation into how something like that would deal with disease, like you said. Is that happening here in Tennessee also?
Yes, there's several states that they found this with chronic wasting disease, and Tennessee is one of them.
Hmm.
They said it spread, I think, 24 states, and they said that it has the possibility of spreading to humans in the coming year.
Hmm.
Yeah, because it can lay dormant in the soil, in their urine, in streams, if it spread through saliva and any body fluids. They think that possibly it could be transmittable if they go down to the creek to drink and get their saliva in the creek and another animal drinks behind them.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
It could potentially spread to other farm animals because we've had on this property and a similar wasting disease from deer, like the zombie disease, but
Elijah, you're breaking up really bad.
Yeah, it hung up on me earlier.
Move closer towards the front of the house.
Let's see. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you much better.
Okay.
I hope at some point to change this over from a blog talk to a podcast.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, I've got some ideas about that. I might be able to help you out with that if you'd be interested.
I would be very interested. And
okay.
While you're on here, I was going to ask you something. We had a bit of interest in you last week after you called in, and some people like you, so I was going to ask you, would you be interested in joining us on a regular basis on the show?
Sure, that'd be great. That'd be a lot of fun.
Well, that sounds good. I'll be in touch, and we'll try to set it up maybe as soon as next week. What do you think?
Sure, I think that'll give us a good excuse to go out and do some field research, get out of the house.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it definitely keep us in contact more often. You know, we set up some play dates, so to speak.
Okay.
And if the chance ever arises, maybe
we
can ever set up a
set something up.
I'm sorry. Come back.
Pardon?
Elijah.
Say that again.
Did you repeat if we ever get the chance, we might be able to set up at a cryptid convention sometime as well.
Sure, I'm really interested in this Gatlinburg one. I'm going to try to put something together to see if I can be there.
Well, I'm excited to have the radio show back. When I started the radio show tonight, I was so used to saying that I'm with another show that I was on that I introduced this show as that show. So I'm going to have to get used to remembering the name of the radio show.
It'll take a little bit of time to get used to.
Had to make me some dummy notes.
Yep.
So we're probably getting pretty close to the show ending. Elijah, how are we doing on time? Do you know?
We got close to 4 minutes left before time's out on it.
4 minutes? Well, Jason, you want to regale us with a little bit more of your research, if you have any, over the next 4 minutes?
Oh, let me think here. I got a couple of notes. Something we didn't get into, in 2008, I touched on it a little bit earlier. I had what I thought was a dog man sighting. At the time, I thought it was a werewolf. I don't know if I have time to get into it right now, but that was pretty interesting sighting. We pretty much touched on everything else.
If I'd have known you had a dog man encounter, I'd have been on that first thing.
Well, I can't
well, dang,
say
my phone broke up. I didn't hear any of that.
I don't know for certain.
Well,
what it
you
was,
should have had a better phone.
I reckon so.
That next time, if you want to.
Yes, yes,
absolutely.
We will do that. And we are—we're really glad that you were willing to join us this week. And
yeah, thank
excited
you very
to
much.
Hear that you're willing to sit in with us in coming episodes.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's good to have somebody to, you know, talk about this kind of stuff with. You know, a lot of times your family and friends, they don't want to. If they don't believe it, or if they haven't had any kind of sighting, they don't believe it, and they might think you're crazy. But it's good to have a circle of friends in this with these same type of experiences.
I found people in the cryptid realm, you know, they are at times the most tolerant people in the world, and at other times they are just vicious to each other. So you never really know which ones you're going to get.
Yeah. Well, I'm of the mind, I don't think anybody can really be an expert in any of this, because, you know, we don't have any bodies laying around. So people might have opinions about, because they've had a lot of experiences, but when it comes right down to it, it's still just an opinion.
All it is, none of us know one way or the other.
Hey, guys, just a heads up, we got about 50 seconds left.
All righty, in closing, Jason, do you have anything that you want to say?
I'm looking forward to, you know, doing some shows with you and doing some research, and maybe, I know we're just looking for the truth, or we'll be looking for answers. That's why any of us get into this, you know, and because we have unanswered questions, and it's the quest for an answer, and that's really all you can say about it, is get out there and try to find an answer and maybe have a little fun along the way, and maybe you might get lucky, and we might get lucky and be the ones that find an answer.
Well, hopefully so. Elijah, do you have anything in closing?
We hope to, we'll try to have all of our technical issues taken care of next week. And Jason, thank you very much again for having us on, or coming on the show and coming on next week.
And I guess in closing, all I really got to say to everybody that's listening and taking this ride with us is, and just stay groovy, baby. Have a good week.
See you, baby.
Appreciate it, guys.
Take care.